Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Tula, and to the St. Philip's community, and to World Interfaith Harmony Week for inviting me to be here today and allowing me to share in your beautiful service. And thank you, Elder Wabagoon, for opening with that beautiful ceremony that I think reminds us all of the spirituality that held together in community people for years and years to live peaceably with one another and sustainably with one another. And obviously, as we see what's happening in the world today, we have a lot to learn from these traditions. So thank you for reminding us of that. So as Pastor Tula had said before, I'm here from Noor Cultural Center, and we're an Islamic spiritual and educational center that's guided in our work by Islamic principles. And so I thought for the few minutes I have to share with you briefly the Islamic principles that inspire our interfaith work and that orient us in it. So first, to read a verse from the Holy Quran that is very much a calling towards interfaith work. From the Holy Quran, Surah 49, verse 13, and it reads, "O humankind, indeed we have created you out of male and female and made you people and tribes that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of God is the most righteous of you. Indeed, God is knowing and acquainted." And this is also the verse that we use at Noor Cultural Center in our mission statement. From this verse, we take a few of our philosophical approaches. So firstly, we understand that the diversity among us, the diversity that creates us into peoples and tribes, is not an accident. It's not something to be denied or embarrassed of, but rather this diversity is a purposeful feature of God's design. Secondly, that at least one reason for this diversity is for us to make active efforts at knowing one another across that diversity, and that doing so is satisfying one of God's obligations of us. And that thirdly, that this verse reminds us that our human-made systems for creating and organizing difference within hierarchies through systems of race, gender, sexuality, ability, ethnicity, etc., that these human-made hierarchies don't represent God's ordering of humans. Indeed, as we read in that verse, the most noble of us in the sight of God is the most righteous, meaning that we're distinguished hierarchically from one another only to the extent or only in regards to the work that we do and the good work that we do on this planet. So we take this verse as quite a clear injunction towards not only knowing others, but also respecting one another as members of different or no faith community. And so we thank World Interfaith Harmony Week for providing another forum for us to come together in this regard to live out our Islamic imperative towards interfaith. And then I also wanted to briefly share with you a second verse from the Quran that we frequently refer to in all of our work at Noor, and that we also use towards our interfaith work, to direct us in our interfaith work. And that is from Surah 4, verse 135, and that reads, "O you who have believed, be persistently standing firm in justice, witnesses for God, even if it be against yourselves or parents and relatives. Whether one is rich or poor, God is more worthy of both. So follow not inclination, lest you not be just. And if you distort your testimony or refuse to give it, then indeed Allah is ever with what you do acquainted." And this calling towards justice is something that through our interfaith work we've seen reflected in all of the faith traditions we've worked with. Just as we were singing today, there was a reminder of our calling towards justice, your calling towards justice as Christians, and that's something that we also share in Islam. So this verse that I just read and the previous one speak to our relationships with tribes. The first one I read tells us that we are organized into tribes so that we can overcome their boundaries and know across them. And this one that I just read tells us that our imperative towards seeking justice supersedes our tribal bonds. And that if justice means we have to speak against ourselves or our parents or our relatives, then we must do so. And for us in this room, as people who are actively invested in and interested in, as people who actively pursue interfaith harmony, we know that interfaith harmony can only be possible with justice, the conditions that allow everyone the opportunity to practice their faith in safety and security. And we know that in the world today, this isn't the case. Most fundamentally, we know that in Canada, if we are practicing our faith, we are doing so on stolen land, and that this land was stolen through processes that denied the spiritual sovereignty of Indigenous peoples. And today we see pipelines and ski resorts being developed against Indigenous consent, and so colonialism continues to be carried out in a way that denies the spirituality of those whose religious practices is intimately tied to the land. If we are practicing our faith in Canada, we are also doing so in a country that just over 2 years ago saw the murder of 6 men and the injury of 19 others who were praying in a mosque in Quebec. And if we are practicing in Canada, we are doing so bordering a country in which Black Christians were murdered just several years ago for their race while worshiping in a church, and where just late last year, Jewish people were killed doing so in a synagogue. And so as people of faith who treasure our own ability to practice, who are grateful to be here to practice our faith together as a collective, we know that there's much more work to be done to guarantee that everyone equally has that ability. Do I have one more minute? Okay. 20 more minutes? Okay, then I will continue with my sermon. Just one other thing that I wanted to mention, that at NUR, one of our main projects is organizing workshops and discussions on Islamophobia. And we also understand this as an important element of our interfaith work, because interfaith harmony requires that we genuinely know one another. And currently, Islamophobic myths make it difficult for people to genuinely know Muslims. So take, for example, that in Canada and the U.S., a person is statistically more likely to be killed for being Muslim than by a Muslim terrorist. And yet Muslims continue to haunt the public imagination as the biggest threat to our collective national security. And so as people of different faith, we believe that in order for us to come together in a spirit of mutual respect, we need to remain skeptical of what we've been taught about the other, and also curious about learning different truths than what we've been taught. And so that is why we do the kind of educational work we do about Muslims, and also actively seek to learn about other communities that we are not familiar with, and that we may be unintentionally participating in injustice against. And I think one of the main ways, because I was talking about justice, one of the main ways that we can be invested in justice for each other is through intentional efforts to meet one another. And so I really admire St. Philip's for organizing this interfaith service to invite all of us into your space of worship and to feature us in your most sacred weekly event. And for that, I very much thank you. And if my intel is correct, to also offer us some refreshments afterwards, which is truly God's work, so thank you. And I know, of course, this interfaith work isn't new for you. I know Pastor Tula and St. Philip's have been involved in interfaith work for years, and that interfaith activity is an important part of your spiritual practice, which I think is a cue many of us could take from. So with that, I'll end here, but I'll end by wishing you all Assalamu Alaikum, which means peace be upon you, and Muslims open and close each of our interactions with one another with that, with wishing each other for peace, and the common response, if you do indeed wish peace back upon me, is to say Wa Alaikum Salam. So anyone want to give that a go? Wa Alaikum Salam. Thank you. So peace be with you. Thank you for allowing me to take your time today, and I look forward to the rest of the service and meeting more of you individually afterwards. Thank you. So a few words. These days, when I sit down with a couple who comes to me to plan for their wedding, I always ask them if they have any particular readings, scripture readings. We read scriptures from the Bible that they want to include in their wedding. Most often the response goes something like this. We're open to just about anything. Well, anything except that scripture reading about love. We've heard that so many times at so many weddings that we're sick and tired of it. And I'm sure they have, and I'm sure they're tired of it. And it might be difficult for all of us to think, for all of us not to think solely of the marriage covenant whenever we hear these words about love. Everybody associates them with the wedding and with marital love, romantic love. But if we restrict these words to the relationship that's celebrated at a wedding, we miss the most radical and the most challenging pieces of the author's argument of Paul, who wrote these words. He didn't write them to a young couple or an old couple on a wedding day. He wrote these words about love in a community, in a life that we have together. Strife and division was welling up. It looked a little bit like the world that Khadija was talking about. There was a clash between socioeconomic classes. Some people in the community were bragging that they were better because their beliefs were purer and better than the other people's. They were the best. I remind you of this letter's historical context because if we ignore when it was written and who it was written, if we don't know it, then it becomes much easier for us to shrink these familiar statements about love into just some romantic, warm, fuzzy platitude. Merely poetic words that some people don't want to read at their wedding because they have been so overused and they have frankly grown stale. This reading is about something completely different. This kind of love is a gift that is meant to enhance the other without any thought of getting anything in return. It is God's, the Creator's kind of love, the kind of love that we are invited to practice, the kind of love that goes out to the other and not to bring something back to itself, but to simply give. It's not about anything that is owed or required as a response. This kind of love is interested in empowering and strengthening the other for his or her own good and for joy and for freedom. And you know what? This kind of love is not a feeling. It's an action. You cannot simply just feel this kind of love. You have to practice this kind, and that is a challenge for us today as individuals and also as a community. So how do we, as a community, this church community, or this city, or this country, or this world, how do we as a community practice this love, not only with each other, but also with the entire world? I think we've done some of that this morning. As you've heard me say before, we're living in the world, and Khadija was talking about that, that seems to be leaning more into fearing others rather than into offering welcome and trust. A society where we stoke anger rather than express kindness. We promote divisiveness rather than working for unity. But today, and in this reading, friends, we are called on to do this kind of hard work of love, to practice this love again and again. It is important to act on things when we are called upon, to choose the path of love, and then to actively practice it even when it is frightening or when it makes life together more challenging. I don't know exactly when that call to practice this risky love will come to you next, but I know it will because this is who we are. We are people called, we're Christians, and all are called to actively engage in love that reaches out from us to the other without any expectation of return, because we are all people created by God. And that is who holds our life and who calls us to follow that love. So we will, and we do. May it be so. Amen. And now I think we have a song from the choir.